Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics. You know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Rajat, so let me ask you this question because it's actually come from one of the listeners, right? What is it about your brand persona that is resonating with your user personas?
So actually what we did was that one was that we tried to create an entire brotherhood. So the entire communication is from a brother to a brother. We are not trying to sit on a, you know, give you gyan from a top gear yeller. It's the entire tone and manner when you thought initially of the brand also was brotherhood.
In so fact, the uniform that Rajan was talking about.
Mm. In fact, you know, one of the names that we were dabbling initially was Bro Code. Thankfully, we didn't use it. our whole idea was that let's talk to them one-on-one.
Yeah.
And we did this because being a digital brand, we know that if we want to give anything which is very, very, over the top, there'll be 20 people trolling us on Facebook or on Insta. And as a policy and a company, we reply to all messages. You know, every guy writes anything, we try to reply to each and every one of them.
Whoa.
So our idea was that, you know, if we are going to have things to talk about, let's do it from a brother to a brother, where, you know, Ustra is the elder brother who's seen a bit of stuff and he's giving you gyan.
Yeah.
But he's doing it in a, like you would do to a younger guy and say, look, maine use kiya, it's good for you, don't ask me questions, use it.
Yeah.
So that's been our tone. I think that's sort of resonated. The rascal bit has resonated because we also discovered that while I was seeing Rahul Dravid's interview and he said, look, I'm sick of being the nice guy. So we think the rascal bit resonated.
Yeah.
But about the fact that, you know, you had products that they really needed.
Yeah.
And they fulfilled their basic requirement is what resonates the most.
That's so interesting. Rajat, thank you so much. I think I've learned a lot in these last 5 minutes. Yeah. I wish I can use this entire webinar as a classroom thing for me. Yeah, absolutely. Here's a question for you, Rajan. So suppose you're trying to educate clients. Yeah. You said a lot of funny things like consumer journey, and brand story and this and that and the other. And you're now talking to clients, right? First, how the hell do you bridge the gap? Don't tell me that there's some intelligent clients and sophisticated clients. We all know them and they're good. So let's not talk about them. Now, let's assume that you're talking to somebody who doesn't know, who wants to understand, but who's coming from the old sort of paradigm. How do you talk him through, say, something like the consumer journey? How do you do that, Rajan?
Honestly, I don't talk. Okay.
Right? Because I've been a sales guy all my life. Yeah. And I know, like, I know there are categories we just don't talk to.
Okay.
Because we know we're going to get stonewalled. We know that the time that we invest in that education isn't going to result in revenue, and we're heavily revenue driven.
Correct.
Right? I think every business should be revenue driven, because this is our equivalent of unit economics, right?
Right.
So luckily for us, we're at a stage where we can, you know, marketers are across the entire spectrum, right? It's not a homogeneous lot. There are some savvy, and there are some marketers who still say internet is the future. Digital is the future.
Okay.
Why will I talk to that guy? What am I going to get? If you are trying to put out a girl, you don't go to the convent and try the nun, right?
Yeah, correct.
Because that person is already married to God, right? In some way. Right? So I'm saying it's similar for us.
Yeah.
Having said that, right? So there are some people that we know, like, drop this conversation right now, move on, let's figure out, you know, someone who's more interested in it, because it's a services business. Again, I'm drawing you back to the point, I have 800 companies to work with. I need 40 of them to become highly successful, okay, in our industry and in where I kind of operate.
Correct.
But what we've begun doing, right, on the other hand, is to figure out what are largely... So we aren't, you know, we aren't in content marketing to do content. We are really doing content marketing to help a business get more business. That's the final thing that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try and make the conversation go another way. So we were talking to a telecom player who wanted to bring down call center costs.
Yeah.
Now, that's a conversation I'm willing to have. Right? That's a conversation I'm willing to have. This thing that I just told you, we will soon have a white paper out, right? Which says that how to train your customer to access you digitally.
Correct.
Right? Now, I think that will resonate. I think that will get us a few calls. I think that is CEO material. That is, you know, business head material, right? So honestly, you know, we pretty much...
So you don't try to explain clients stuff like consumer journey or personas and...
We do. But we do it to the half converted. We don't do it, right? I would do it to a person who's there. I wouldn't try to preach religion to an atheist. I wouldn't want to kind of do that. So we're very careful about what we do. And since it's tiny, it's small, you know, our business is completely different, Sid. It's not like a large consumer business or it isn't like a large B2B business either, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
Even on the MarTech side of it, we know we need to talk to people who've got content teams, otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Correct.
We need to kind of get them there. So that's what we do. At a very broad level, we do our own content marketing, which is, you know, targeted at different people. And but that's very, very B2B in its own way.
Okay. Thanks. I think that was a refreshingly honest answer. And I believe that I've found another aspect of your 80-20, by the way. It's not just your micro communities and all. You've chased the right clients. And a lot of companies actually don't do that. A lot of companies are trying to educate. And we know that between inspiration, influence, and education actually works the least. And I'm ashamed to say that as an academic. But education is the worst way of actually convincing somebody. Probably
influence. Yeah. But, you know, the funny thing, you know, I've got to say that is, you know, we, however, as content marketers, we insist on the education bit in a large way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, because I think if you're planning to buy a house, the information that you need now, because, you know, you and your wife have decided you want to buy a house, is very different from the information you're going to need 3 months later, because you've gone, seen a few houses, checked out a few home loans. And then it's going to be even more different after you kind of zeroed in on these three places that you're going to work with, right?
Okay.
So there is a certain importance in a lot of content marketing is education, but then it is, you know, you want to educate people who are interested or who want to kind of get there, because I can't just tell you buy a house.
Yeah.
And, you know, say I'm going to educate you to buy a house.
Right.
My thing is that there is a there is a latent need, and the moment that latent need is, or you create that need. Today, I think a lot of companies, for example, will be creating the need for remote software.
Correct,
for
correct.
Working faster together and things of that sort. Right?
Yeah.
And therefore, that's part of it may require some kind of it. So I think you need to be a little picky, choosy, decide what you want to do. Like I said, right, there is no common one route.
Yeah.
You need to have different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Here's some tough questions, guys. Tough questions coming your way. I'm just reading out the first one. When so many unicorn startups, which raise billions in 10 to 20 rounds of funding, they have folded up or whatever, have found it difficult to sustain their workforce for even 2 months, how are you guys faring with respect to the situation? I'd let Rajat go first.
Well, this is the post-COVID era, is it? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think probably it is the post-COVID.
Okay. Yeah, so it's things are tough, very difficult.
Yeah.
They have to take some very tough decisions.
Yeah.
Right now, we decided that, we'd rather cut salaries than let go of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going with. But having said that, I know it's not easy because for things to get back to normal is going to take a couple of time. Thankfully and mercifully, we're in a category which everybody's things will come back the strongest. So now I've become a big believer in consumer goods and things that are that people buy again and again. So we are hopeful that within a couple of months we'll be back to normal, mm-hmm. and then things should get back to where they were. Mm-hmm. We were actually in the middle of a very big, a fundraise, mm-hmm. and that, so that sort of got a little held up right now. But yeah, things are moving on well, and we should be back in a couple of months.
That's very positive news from you, yeah, Rajat. I was just wondering how the hell you guys face up to stress like this, Rajan. What do you do, man?
I'm a dhanda guy. Yaar. I want profit. I want money out of every deal. I kind of look at it. I think the kind of funding that we earlier got, and our entire, it's nowhere close to what a B2C does, right? B2B space is a little different, and the B2B micro segment that I'm in is even more different.
Correct.
Right. So for us, it was important that we had people who were able to mentor us, people who were strategically invested in us more than anything else. We kind of knew how to get the sale, and I've done that for a large part of my life, right? So we don't have any unicorn dreams, or we don't have any such thing. I think even like a couple of 100 crores in the bank is damn good. Right. Right. So, and nowhere close to that. Right. But I'm just saying that I want to make sure that I run a solid business, mm-hmm. that we run a profitable business. 4 out of the 6 years that we've operated, mm-hmm. are profitable years, and the profit just seems to kind of keep growing. And that's really what I'm looking for. I haven't really focused on funding. I actually focus on money in a different way. That is, I sit in front of a client and I get that money in, and that works. That helps me pay my bills, and that helps me do a lot of other things. So,
right. No,
if at all we raise, great. If we don't, you've got money in the bank.
Yeah. Yes, Rajat.
Yeah, I just like to add that what it has done is it's made, especially on my startup, but it's made things more realistic. Like Rajan mentioned, the focus now is more to be bottom line driven, not top end driven. The focus is to become profitable. The focus is to not spend unnecessary money. That talking about, this is the entire ecosystem as a whole. While a couple of years, everything was top line. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, that has come down to sensible unit economics, sensible use of investment money. And definitely, path to profitability has, everybody has to do it faster than what was in the business plan.
So now this is a wonderful segue for the question that is actually the theme of this particular, show, which is, so what have you guys done differently now that we've had this conversation as entrepreneurs, and what do guys who are in corporates do differently? What advice would you give a genuine corporate like just one or two pieces of advice, like yaar ye dekh lo yaar ye kyu kar rahe ho, let's assume that he or she is a friend of yours, so it's not like you're pissing people off by your advice or anything of that sort. So the question is for both of you, anybody can go.
I don't think you need to chase the different just for the heck of it. I don't think you need to be different. And I would think that that's one big thing I would go out on a limb for. Because I know as a corporate and as a, you know, look at our times in Sony, Sid, right? We thought our programming was the best.
No, I didn't.
Z kicked our ass, right? And really bad. And you know, I don't think Sony's gotten there yet in the last 25 years since we've kind of worked there. Yeah, right.
I dream of genie was what we started with.
And I'm just saying that we believed so much in what we did, and we saw these things with, you know, rose tinted glasses, all of that, right? So did we do anything really different? Did something really happen? No, I think the big, big different thing, I mean, you can't say that running Sholay was different. That's ridiculous, right? As in, that was just another movie or whatever, right? Or I'm going to our time, or doing a concert was kind of different. It showed whatever it did.
So that's still product. That's still product. Now, I'm talking of maybe the image building part of brand building. What would you say?
I would still think, you know, because a lot of what happens from the image and whatever else is that it comes in from there, right? I think there's a connect in some sense to the product. And so if I look at an HDFC Standard Life, it's about Sir Uta KGO and things of that sort, which is kind of somewhere tied in. Maybe brotherhood that Rajat just spoke about, somewhere kind of tied into what is there. So I don't think you can kind of disconnect it to that extent, right? But and therefore, I would still say don't chase the different. Just instead, you know, I would imagine that don't chase the different. Instead, let's chase a tone and let's chase a tilt. That might be more exciting. Mm. That might be more interesting.
Okay. All right. Rajat?
Yeah, my only feeling is that, you know, a lot of guys who are managing brands are not interested in it. So, you know, you're not so involved. Like, I think as an entrepreneur, we are involved in everything about the business. So, we are living and breathing our brands 24/7. Hmm. But I've seen that a lot of corporate guys who understand and love the brand do an exceptional job. A lot of the guys over there, okay, salary will be time for that. I'll make here for 3 years, I'll take another jump, I'll go somewhere else. And those guys, they keep doing well, but their brand suffer. So I've always noticed that anybody who is more involved in what they're doing tends to show better results. And typically, I think that's one big difference I noticed between entrepreneurs and corporate guys, is that perhaps their involvement is not so much, or perhaps they only are looking at their part of the business and not as business as a whole.
Right.
I think you start looking at that at a much senior level. I would just think that, you know, at least all brand managers should tightly manage their social media pages so that they know what their customers are talking about, instead of getting into heavy research and getting. If you manage your pages well, you look at it every day, you will know what your customer is saying, and that really helps you to firm up your communication or.
Okay.
Plan the way forward. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that because an entrepreneur is A, involved, and B, understands a better and bigger picture, he or she is able to bring in that amount of passion and knowledge to the brand building job, which most corporate guys are either loath to do or are doing kind of half-assedly.
I said there are enough corporate guys who are involved, who are passionate, and then they produce phenomenal stuff and they tend to do really well in their careers.
Correct. But if I have to now segue in this question into something else, like, I know both of you are kind of quiet about your own selves. Okay. So it's very interesting to note that both of you are building, I mean, Rajan's building brands for everybody else, and you're building this amazing cult brand or whatever, or cult brands. But you don't have very strong personal brands, do you?
No.
So I just wanted to understand the paradox over here. Is there any thinking to it, or you just are too busy? What's the deal?
I'll tell you, So I'm basically because I'm very clear on to all the Ustra brands, and it takes so much of a time. There are days I don't want to see social media at all. Right. But I guess because a big chunk of your part goes in, at least for me, is looking at what we are doing on social, and that becomes so much of a priority that your personal thing tends to take the backseat. But I think it's also personality. Some people are more outgoing. Maybe I'm more comfortable like this.
No, what I'm understanding from you also is, Rajat, that for you, your developed brands are you. So actually, that's why, you probably are pouring all, maybe that is your personal brand.
Maybe.
You know, that might be.
There's a fairly high sense of involvement in checking everything, every hour, trying to respond to see what people are saying. Yeah, we do that all the time.
I have an answer. I thought it was very popular. Sorry, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm
kidding. I mean, that's the third, right? I guess it's really a personality type. I mean, I'd go with what Rajat said there. I guess it's more of that. I think a lot of my time actually goes in trying to build scatter, in trying to... Right. I'm not saying that we're not going to be building stuff for our partner brands and things, but I'm saying more from a scatter point of view. I think I like the fact that I'm a slightly behind the scenes worker. We're doing a lot of interesting things for the industry as a small group of companies in content marketing, etc. So, yes, those are some of the things I'm doing. I don't really have an answer, but I think the I just articulated it well, saying that it's more like a personality type more than anything.
I personally don't think that works too badly for you, because if I can create a pitch for you, I'd say, hey, I'm too busy building your brand. Yeah, so where the hell am I going to build my own personal brand?
I'm going to take that line and say.
So I think that certainly can work. So here's we are kind of nearing the end of our time, so thanks for sticking by and not getting bored, even though I can see Rajat being fidgety.
That's just me.
That's absolutely fine. By the way, Rajat is also part of the MICA Governing Council, and which is by and large a defunct body. We have met a couple of times.
We'll do something about it.
We with good intentions, and we need to do something about it. And I promise every MICAN who's listening, we will do something about it.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Coming back, I just want to now give a bit of a strange question to you. So now, Rajat, I'll just explain this, and you can take it from there, Rajat, right? So there are many two or three core things that you built your successes on, or your company on. One is obviously the wonderful brand that you built. The second, obviously, you are into creating some products, B2C products, and delivery and logistics and operations, and the rest of it also play a massive part, right? And then there's fucking luck. Okay.
Yes.
So that's the third thing. Okay. So now if I have to kind of give a percentage figure to, this is what I give to brand, this is what I give to all the other stuff, which is the grind work, I would say, right? And this is what I give to luck. Okay. Can you assign a percentage and especially tell me the luck element in it and tell me why you think so? And the same question goes for Rajan.
So there's there's a quote I read, which says, "Believe in luck, and the harder you work, the more you'll have it."
Correct.
No, but having said that, when I said timing, it could be chance, it could be luck. I would say that luck is about 30%. Being at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is 70%.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the companies which started slow, and everybody thought that later wrote them off, but they stuck around and they managed to do very fairly well.
Yeah.
One tries to give too much weightage to the first mover. That really isn't a thing anymore. Most of the big companies right now are doing really well and not the first ones to launch.
So
I guess my take is that timing is a little more critical than just pure luck, but however you put it, so the timing luck part is still 30%, and or maybe 20% and 80% is how you, what do you think of the business and how you're able to build it over a period of time.
So, because, brand or non-brand work kaisa hai? So, brand, right? Ustra, Happily Unmarried.
So, just say, out of the 80, I would say brand is 40 and the entire thing, everything is 40. So, well, brand is a very, like, Happily Unmarried was a strong brand, but there was no product selling.
Yeah.
Or Ustra, thankfully, is a strong brand, but has enough pipeline and enough people who want to buy those products.
Correct.
Which is, and the difference is so stark. Like, I think HU was 35 towns. Ustra is 1200 towns.
Mm.
The same team, same people, everything same. Mm. So that brand, the strong brand which resonates, but then there is a reason for people to buy those things. And then those products deliver by them. So that's also very, very important.
Okay. So it's 40, 40, and 20. Luckily, I was trying to add it up to 100. So, okay. All right. What about you, Rana?
I think in our mix, there'd be talent, there'd be how well we are known as a company, which you'd want to call brand in common parlance, right?
Yeah.
And the third is luck, certainly. Yeah. Right? And that probably, I'd probably say that talent for me, given the fact that, you know, there is a certain amount of creative output.
Sure.
There's a significant amount of creative, consultative output that we've kind of built. That plays a really, really big role. And,
that can be part of either brand building, or it can be part of operations, or it can be luck that you find somebody nice, right? So it can still be part of all three. Right, so I'm kind of nailing you down to these three.
Okay.
So doing logistics, operations, the right stuff of business. The second is brand building, brand, right? And the third is sheer bullshitty luck.
Yeah, so I'd go with sheer bullshitty luck being 50% and 25% for the other two.
25%.
I go with that because, like, you know, one of the things that really scared me when I began Scatter was just this, that most people who just began with something new, more so with internet digital ventures, you had the first mover disadvantage and not the advantage, right? And that's what I've seen, like, happen across the place in so many, especially in the B2B space again. And I keep looking at everything, from a B2B angle when I'm talking about my company,
I
talk about wherever else, right? So I feel that way because there were tons of digital agencies that started before, tons of social agencies that started, but some of those guys kind of got in a little later. Yeah. I was paranoid about that. I still am. I'm like, shit, who's lurking in the back, you know? who's going to kind of build on what we've kind of shaped so far?
Mm.
And you take that call. So
that's
like
that is refreshingly honest, and that's a wonderful thing that you're stating. That's something that you don't get to hear. You get to hear, you know, platitudes. So I'm glad that you've said it. And that's true. So the more you know that you recognize you're on edge, right, as an entrepreneur, and you make peace with it, or also kind of accept it. Chal, tu bhi aaja ride ke liye. You know, then it tends to become a much better journey. I think we are almost out of time. So I'm going to say a little quick thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. I didn't know an hour went by.
An hour went by. And funnily, half of the time, I thought I was talking to Naseem Taleb instead of Rajat Tuli because of the new ghetto he's gone. No, seriously.
That's so strict, mate.
So Sean Connery come Naseem Taleb, man. You're in high echelons. But thank you so much. Very refreshing.
This is lovely. Thank you, team. Colossum Communication.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity.
Wonderful time.
To build a personal brand, right?
Build a personal brand. Okay. All right. Cheers.
See you. Okay. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Cheers. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.